Hey guys, it's your host Julian. This week I'm sitting down with Johnny Bravo character designer Julian Chaney to talk all things Johnny Bravo, Hanna-Barbera Studios, and the early days of Cartoon Network. I want to give a special shout out to a couple of our patrons that helped make this podcast possible. Bill, Brent, Brittany, Eight-Legged Bird, Jacob, and Nick. Thank you all so much for your support. It truly means a lot. If you want to become a patron and help support this show, check the show notes and sign up today. Now, let's get on to my chat with Julian. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What's My Podcast. My name is Julian. Today I'm joined by Julian. Julian, man, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Julian?
Oh, fantastic. So we did a little bit of pre-ramble before we hit record. And I've been doing a lot, ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing a lot of the creator reunions and reunion episodes for the shows that I absolutely grew up with. And I've been very lucky to be able to spark up at least online friendships with folks that created my childhood and so many folks' childhoods that that listen to this show and watch this show each week. And I set out to do a Johnny Bravo one, and I reached out to Van Partible, and he was like, if you have anybody on, you've got to have Julian on. He is a lively conversation, and he helped create almost every character on that first season. So, Julian, I would love to know, how do you get on to Johnny Bravo?
I remember Van asking me. I was just finishing up helping out on some shorts at the time. And Van happened to ask me, you know, would I come work on his show? But I had actually had done some stuff on a Jungle Boy cartoon previous. And he asked me to do that short for him. And after I did the short, I think it was some time, I did a couple other water cartoons. That's what they were at the time. Did a couple of them. And Van, I was in between jobs, I remember. And I remember Van coming to ask me if I would want to work on a series. And I said, oh, yes, at the time. I needed some work, too, at the time. And then, plus, Van was the first person to give me a chance to do my own designs. Well, kind of do a design a short, which was a Jungle Boy short. So I was like, okay, I'll try this. And he had did a short with another friend on Robert Ramirez, one of the pilots for Johnny Bravo, the Amazon Women, I think. And I thought it was hilarious. So I was excited. And then that's why I said, okay, I'll try it. So we started working on, I think it was Mama first. Mama was the first design I started working on. And then it was Little Susie. But he had a lot of different artists working. So the final designs was almost pretty much a collaboration between me and another artist, Paul Rudish. And I kind of finalized the design of Mama. Because I had did some previous designs before, but they're a little bit more Hanna-Barbera-ish, not more in the style. And we also were trying to develop a style for Van, because I didn't want to take, that was one of the things I didn't want to take away from the way he drew and the way he did things. So we kind of put them together and kind of showing Van how to design at the same time. And, you know, and not taking away from what he, from his previous, you know, pilots and the way he drew his characters. And I didn't want to make it a Julian Chaney show. So we pretty much, we sat down and did a lot of drawings together. Some of them I still have. He has a lot of stuff. He keeps everything too. But I have a couple of things, pal. Well, I have the Jungle Boy stuff that we did previous. And that's where we kind of started working together. That way I could kind of see what he liked, his sensibilities, you know, the kind of characters, the cartoons he liked. Because we didn't really know each other. I would see Van during that process. He was he had just came into the studio and he was working on a computer system, I remember. And he was, you know, we would speak to each other in the hall, and we liked the same Hanna-Barbera stuff. We're big nerds in the studio. So we became friends, but he actually asked me right after I did those shorts, you know, to come in. It was in the summertime, I remember, so it was real hot and I was working from home. And then I was working with Zach Moncrief at the same time on his short, got the name Godfrey and something. It was with the giraffe. And so I was going back and forth, working, doing layouts for that. Then I did character designs for Van. And then he asked me to do layout, character layout as well with on Jungle Boy. So it was kind of, it was a big space in between that time. And then he said he got a series, so I was excited. And we started work. We started on Mama first. I remember. It was what? Yeah, Mama was a fighter.
Now I've been so fascinated with that whole era of What a Cartoon, Fred Seibert coming in, because that was when I my earliest memory of watching cartoons was The Great Piggy Bank Robber. What was it? The Great Shit. I fucking completely with, blanked on it.
Donald Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck. Yeah, yeah. Bob Clampett was The Great Piggy Bank Robbery. I'm pretty sure I butchered the name of that one, but that's like my earliest memory of cartoons, right? And then my next memory, like I always see it in flashes. It was that Cartoon Network checkerboard, right? Seeing that come out, the What a Cartoon, hearing that What a Cart, and then the splat, right? Yeah. So Johnny Bravo has been there for the entire time, right? So whenever I get to do these deep dives into 90s cartoons, Johnny Bravo, Dexter's Lab, you know, Powerpuff Girls, I'm always consistently reminded of like this new change, this new wave of energy, all these young artists coming in. What was that energy like for you as being a young artist at that time? What was the vibe like at Cartoon Network?
It wasn't Cartoon Network yet. People have to remember it was still Hanna-Barbera, and it was exciting because everybody was. It was a chance to be a creator at the time. I even did a short. It didn't get made, which I'm probably going to do it on my own now. But it was a short that I had started to do. You know, it was a lot of people. I worked mostly with Pat Ventura at first. I did the first, which were the first four were the cartoons. And to get picked. And it was exciting because it was a lot of creative juices, whereas everybody wasn't just doing our regular work anymore. Everybody was starting to create projects. It was weird seeing everybody that was just doing models. And, you know, we did mostly model design, character design at Hanna-Barbera at that time. I worked in a lot in development. And it was a little different. It was, because I can remember the first day they started Cartoon Network. I still have pencils and paraphernalia from that day. We had the big party. And looking at the cartoons, we had a party, like a little summer splash party with all the new cartoons. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have pencils, like real pencils and stuff. I kept all that stuff. I still have stuff in bags that I didn't take out. So I need to dig that. I'm sure somebody would want to grab. I have lights, Cartoon Network lights. But it was exciting because it gave everybody a chance. Where we're just used to being a part of the cog working, and which is nothing wrong with that. But at that time, this was the first time within my, in a lot of the other people's career that they were allowed to make shorts again or be creative. So it was definitely, I missed that time because I don't think we'll get that back. Cause I don't think they'll let us do that again. But we need that. We do need that type of thing again, because it allowed us to realize that we can be creative. Because some people didn't go to school. The last time I was, you know, you're able to create something or make a film, and it's usually in college. So usually now when I speak to people, I'm like, be as creative as you can if you're in college or school, because when you get in the industry, it's not going to be like that. So at that time, it was the first time where we were reminded that we are creatives at that time, because a lot of us, you know, we get in, you know, I wanted to come in and be an animator. Then I was doing character design, but I had did animation, but then we'll get kind of pigeonholed or put in a place to where people only think that's what you do. Mm-hmm. So the one exciting thing about the whole Cartoon Network thing was that it, you know, people weren't institutionalizing and they had to realize it. And I love that. It was a little jealousy at first because some of the older people at the studio felt like, you know, when a lot of the new people came in, because it kind of satellite from all that kind of started from Two Stupid Dogs at that point in time when all of Gendy and all those guys came in on that project. And so when Fred came in, I remember Fred had a guy going around interviewing all of us with a video camera and just talking to us and and which I loved. I actually, Fred Seibert was actually a really nice person who came out. And just, he was very personal with everything. And I loved that about him. And then he announced, I remember him telling me about Cartoon Network, that something was coming up. And then there was another guy named Ken, who I can't remember his last name, but he was from Atlanta. And I remember him coming back and forth. And he was a Japanese guy. I can't remember his last name, but I remember him coming back and forth. And then all of a sudden, they announced that they're going to, Turner was buying the studio, which I went through two takeovers at the time. So it was, I remember coming to work one day and guys on the roof with guns. It was crazy.
Jesus.
And just the, it was a little deep. This, you know, yeah. And our regular security guards who were like, oh, you know, middle age, older, very old, and seeing them on the side was a little different. But it was definitely different. When Cartoon Network came in, it came in strong. I do remember that, and they were. It was an exciting time. We had a good time. You know, it was a little weird at first. I remember that because, you know, it was like they were bringing people in. Some people had been there since the beginning of Hanna-Barbera, so it was a little odd to see a lot of change really, really quick. It changed really fast, you know, because it wasn't, when I first started, we didn't have units. We didn't have separate shows or nothing. We all worked on, we were doing like 9 different series in 1 week and getting everything out one time. So it was a little
That's
different.
Wild.
Yeah. Now a studio can't even get one episode out, but you know, it's different. But that place was well managed, and I haven't seen only other place that was managed well that I saw after that was Don Bluth Studio. So they kept it together, and Hanna-Barbera was polished. There was no issues. I didn't even know what staying late was. We always had everything done. It was an exciting time. And then also to a lot of people coming in from school that, and then some of the people that you're working with, you get to see them be creative. You know, at that time it was Butch Hartman was working on Tom and Jerry Kids, Eugene, different people were doing these different cartoons and things. I'm working on a series, but they also had the first time that a lot of these people were able to pitch shows and to see everybody pitch. Not some people's shows didn't get picked up, but also see that they kept going. Some people got multiple shorts, so it was fun. It was fun when Van came in. It was a little, because I didn't. He was. It was a little like, who are these new kids, you know, coming in? But Van was always very polite when coming in, talking. He wanted to know things, so it made it more exciting for him and as well as for me, because I was one of the young ones at the time. But he came in like asking questions, and I liked that about Van. At first, we were kind of like, who is this kid? What is he want? Let's see his film. What does he want? And then I remember him approaching me about doing the character designs at first. And I said, let me think about it. Because at the time, they were trying to do a Flintstones, I remember too, a Flintstones series. And they had like 6 scripts that they had written. I was developing that. And I was kind of being a little snobby at the time. Well, I guess I'll see what's going on. But my friend Jenny Haas, she was working on, she had worked with Ben first too, so she wasn't able to, and I think she was still working on Adam's Family, I think, and when I think she did recommend me to work with Van as well, so, and then we just started working with each other. It was fun, because like he wasn't afraid at the time, he was not afraid to ask questions, and I love that about him. And didn't feel intimidated or none of that type of stuff. You know, some people feel like, oh, I should ask that, but he never was mousy about anything. And I think that's what made us work really well together in that way, because he asked questions. He didn't just pretend like he knew everything, you know, because it was a couple of them around that knew everything and had never made a film. So it's kind of, but he wasn't like that.
That's really cool to hear. It's always cool to hear like early beginnings of anybody, but especially when you look up to. I mean, I've been seeing your name in credits since I was a little kid, man. I've been seeing Van's name in credits since I was a little kid, you know. So getting to talk to all of you guys and gals that I've had on for the last, I'm going into year 4 now with this podcast. It I like I look forward to podcast night so much because I get to be transported back in time to a time where I was a little kid sitting in front of a TV watching the cartoons that helped raise me, whether it was raised my sensibility, raised my morality, raised whatever it might have been at such a little kid. So getting to hear these stories, I truly appreciate. So thank you for sharing those. There's two things I wanted to circle back to. You said one name in particular that has never been brought up on the podcast, other than I brought it up a few times. And any chance that I can get any kind of stories out of Pat Ventura, I'll just bury the lead right here.
Oh,
Pat Ventura. When you hear Pat Ventura, is there a funny story? Is there a favorite story, a favorite interaction you had with Pat? I mean, the man's a legend. So are you. You know, he worked on, like you said, the first four shorts that came out of the What a Cartoon. So when you think of that name, Pat Ventura, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
A shy extrovert.
Yes.
Well, an introvert that's a hidden, I should say an introvert that's I should say a hidden extrovert.
Yeah.
That is an introvert, but he's an explosive extrovert.
And he's got layers.
When he watches everything, he's very quiet. If you ever met Pat, very quiet, and until he knows you. And it took him 2-3 years before he actually spoke to me, you know, which was weird. You know, he would come to my office. I shared an office with Mike Takamoto at Hanna-Barbera. So he was good friends with Mike. And, you know, over the years through the 70s and, you know, 79 and, you know, 80s when they all started working. So he would always come talk to him, but would never say a word to me in the office. So like, I never thought Pat liked him. So then one day I saw him out and then he was polite. He said hello. And then when I came back to work, he came by and wanted to drop off some of his scripts. And he said hello because I guess he had came to our office enough times for 2 years by to finally say hello. So, we realized we like some of the same stuff, cartoons, and Pat's just wow. It's just funny. Let me see something about Pat. If anybody worked at Cartoon Network or Hanna-Barbera knew him for his graffiti, you think, ooh, like the graffiti, like pretty much what you had, your mural in the background,
uh-huh.
Pat had those all over our restaurants at the studio. Yeah. But it would be his characters doing unquestionable things. But, you know, he wouldn't put his name, but everybody knew him.
No, they knew.
You know, you had some good reading material with stalls at Hanna-Barbera on the walls. He loved being Pat, if he wasn't a cartoonist, he would have been a graffiti artist, probably.
Yeah.
But I just talked to him about a week ago, and then I got a text from him this morning. And he's doing well. You know, I wish he would get back and doing cartoons again, trying to trick him. Hopefully I can get him back to do something.
I hope so. We need more Julian, and we need more Pat Ventura. Like I said, it's doing these deep dives. That's a name that I've come up on so many times. And when I just go down this memory lane, I go on YouTube and I just put in those 52 What a Cartoon shorts, and I just sit back and watch and just see his name pop up, you know. Yeah. So anytime we can, you know, take our hats and tip our hats towards Pat Ventura, man. I gotta tip that hat toward Pat Ventura. Getting it back to, you know, Johnny Bravo, man. So like I said before we hit record, 29 years ago, yesterday, I believe, when you're watching this, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a couple of weeks, but, you know, just go with us here for a little bit. 29 years ago, pilot for Johnny Bravo is released. When was the last time you watched anything Johnny Bravo related? And more in particular, when was the last time you probably watched this pilot?
The last time I watched anything, Johnny, had to be 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
When you watch that, what gets brought up? What do you think about when you watch that show?
At first, you know, when I first saw the show, I didn't get it. But now what I see now when I look at it is a lot of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Things that when Van of sitting down over the years getting to know Van, when I look at it now, I look at it as a show that's filled with things that everybody, it's almost like when people, a comedian says things that people want to say, but I think Van was able to let it explode for everybody was a pop culture is right there in front of us. It's pretty much like he put his life in the cartoon, and but it's also reflecting things that we like or things that we grew up with, you know, reminding us. I think it's a reminder of not to be so serious. That's what I see when I see the show. And you can be silly when you want to, because it has some silly things in there. And it also reminds me of how silly life can be. Don't take it so serious, and also have fun. You know, that we're all quirky, because all the characters in there have something that's very human about it. Even though it's a cartoon world, but they all have something very human about them. And I like that. I think Van was able, like his latter projects that he did, which are some other pilots that he did. I don't know if you just got to see any of those, Junior. They're very hilarious, but they're a little bit more edgier. Whereas like Johnny Bravo has that edge, but it doesn't go over. He never goes over with it. You know, I think it's definitely good family fun. I love the music about it. All of the like nostalgia, novelty that we don't get anymore with stuff, you know. It's definitely a novel cartoon, I should say, because he brings other characters back from other places, you know, from the Hanna-Barbera world that you might have forgot, or remind you of things that you thought you forgot about, or or was it just a dream? Because, you know, growing up, you know, I thought I remembered that. And it's right there in your face. And so, or somebody else was watching the same thing you were watching. So that's one, I think that's very genius in Van's part, you know, later on, as I got to watch Johnny Bravo. Because like I said, at the beginning, I didn't get it at first, or get the show. And it took me a minute to get it. And now I do get it with Van. And it's definitely a stream of conscience from Van.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Thanks, man. So when Johnny Bravo comes up, well, before I ask that question, with the exception of Van, obviously, who did the best Johnny Bravo when it comes to mannerisms? I got to imagine you guys would act out certain scenes whenever you were boarding it, but who had the best Johnny Bravo impersonation among you artists?
I'll have to say,
All right, as we take a pause for the cause, if you haven't yet, you should check us out on all social media platforms by searching at In My Head Pod. There you can see who we've got coming on, and if you feel so inclined to, you could submit a question to be asked. Now, let's get back to the show.
Butch.
Yeah.
Probably Butch Hartman. Butch was doing, and probably Van, too, because Van knew him, but I think Butch Hartman would do one really funny. And Seth would do something, but Seth is kind of shy, but he would do some funny ones too. You know, but I would say Van and Butch.
Yeah.
They would do the best one, because Butch is a ham, so I'm sure. And Van could be a ham too. Could be ham.
Oh, I've talked to Van, man. He was such a charismatic and charming person, man. Just sitting there talking to him, you know, it felt like I've had this with a couple people on here. Like, you talk to him for just a few minutes and it feels like you've known them for a lot longer. Like, you actually know them by just meeting somebody on Zoom and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things that was like, we started talking and I just happened to look up. And like happens with most of the time, like, I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize it was that long. I apologize for keeping you from your family that long, you know? But it was just one of those things where it was like, he was so forthcoming. He was so honest. He was so open about, you know, everything with Johnny Bravo and Cartoon Network and his time on there and working with the people he worked with. You know, I just thought it was like, wow, dude, this dude's got a gift for just talking to people. So, but he was, like I said, very charismatic and very fun. So thank you for sharing those. With that artist room, I've heard so many fun stories about, how do they put it? An artist would go up, or an executive would, you guys would be sitting at a board meeting or a pitch meeting, and then an exec would get on and try to put their kind of flavor on it. And post-it notes would be passed around with the execs doing certain things, you know, designs, characters, and whatnot. Who had the best characters of you are the artists or you are the writers? Who would make the funniest characters?
Probably I would say Miles Thompson and probably
Yeah.
me. Me and
Who's your
Miles.
favorite?
But I wouldn't show people mine. So, because
No?
that was the first, actually, Johnny Bravo was the first show I actually started doing caricatures. I would never do them before of people. Only when I was younger, I would do mean caricatures of people. But
Yeah.
we kind of would do things. Miles Thompson definitely, because I got a ton of those drawings still that they would
Yeah.
do. And Moochie Facet. Moochie is quick, and Moochie can draw anyone with
Yeah.
essence. And I think Miles and Moochie, I'll just say Miles and Moochie, because and I'll say me third, because they forced me to start doing caricatures. I still have
Yeah.
a note from Moochie where it's like, because I would never draw people at work. I just wouldn't do that. You know, and then other people would do it. We would laugh at the drawings and stuff. And then now I will.
Yeah.
After that, I think it was Johnny Bravo's when I started doing it. And then plus Pat Ventura, Pat would leave a lot of Flintstone characters and different things on your desk. And Miles Thompson and Moochie, they are known to leave drawings.
Yeah.
Mike Takamoto, Jenny Haas, they all did that. I was the only person that didn't do it until that particular series. I had to, or I had to defend myself, because I have a ton of me, you know. John Kay, like going back to Ren and Stimpy back in the, John Kay would get you too. He would get you
Yeah.
quick. And so it was always, whew, yeah. So I had to learn. That was a show I started doing caricatures on Johnny Bravo because of those guys, because they're quick and they'll do it
Yeah.
and funny. I still have a ton of those things. Tons
Yeah.
of them. Yes, I keep them all. I always keep my caricatures, especially even if they're mean. I love them. Long as it's
Who did
mean.
the best? Who did the best one of you? Or who did the funniest one of you?
Moochie.
Moochie.
Moochie. Yeah, Moochie would. David Fassett. Moochie would always do it. And, oh, no. I can't sing well, because Miles would do some too every day. He
Yeah.
would always have something on my, or Moochie would. It was out of those two. Every day I had something on my desk of
Yeah.
me or something I said, and Paul Rudish was another, but Paul Rudish worked on a different series, but he would do freelance sometimes. But Paul would always caricature of our exploits, like going wrestling and things I did with me and him and his wife. Or one day I came in, I was real, it was after being sick. I'll never forget. I still have that drawing. And I was sick. And I came in the next day, but I was like so hungry after I was sick. And I had all this KFC boxes of it. And the next day I come back, it's these drawings. Paul had drew all these drawings of people. I'm like on the phone, like, oh, I'm so sick. And I'm eating all this chicken. It's bones everywhere and boxes and chicken sticking their head out. I still have that drawing. I have to dig it out. It's hilarious. But Paul would get you, and Moochie
Yeah.
would. They were at Mike Takamoto's. You know, those guys, there's certain people that would get you where you fall out laughing. And
Yeah.
Pat would do some of the most meanest drawings with Hanna-Barbera characters. I have tons of those.
Yeah.
And, Scott Gerald would be so pissed, I remember. He'd go, who drew this? You know who drew that. What if they see this? And so I have a big collection of
Yeah.
caricatures and stuff. I love that stuff. But that was the show, Julian, that forced me to start doing caricatures
Just out
again.
of self-defense, like you said.
Yeah. I had to. It's just like, even Moochie drew a drawing where it's like he throws in a, it's your turn now, you know. So I had to get back to it. And I haven't stopped since. Now I will draw.
They let that dog out, is what you're saying.
Yes. They unleashed the Kraken. Now I had to.
Oh man, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. So let's circle back to the Johnny Bravo characters, man. So you said something that I thought was very cool, that Van was like the first creator that let you kind of explore with his, you know, with his characters, but kind of explore and flesh out ideas for these characters. So for that process, I know it's a long time ago, but I have to imagine it was pretty memorable. Do you remember anything about flushing out those early designs? What were you taking inspiration from? Who were you bouncing ideas off of? What was some of the input Van might have given you, or some of the other artists might have?
Well, I remember Van wanted me to look at Ed Benedict's. He was starting to just get the names to stuff that he liked. And also I was showing him stuff. I think it was me starting to show him different artists that he like, Dan Haskett, Ed Benedict, and different people. He didn't have a vocabulary, I think. And he just slowly started, you know, and then it was a lot of treasure troves at Hanna-Barbera, so he was able to go to find things that he liked. Like, I remember us liking the Bewitched titles, him mm-hmm. liking Tom Slick. He loved, what was his name? Georgia the Jungle, mm-hmm. different things like that. So he steered me to different things to look at. And also, too, at that time, I didn't like drawing a lot of graphic stuff anymore because I wanted to go to Disney Features, go over there to work. So I had stopped kind of drawing a lot of, I didn't want to draw a lot of it. I was on those shows, yeah. but a lot of the shows I was kind of rebelling against, and personally.
Yeah.
And so that's why, going back to where I said, I was kind of feeling snobby because I didn't want to work with Van at that time or work on any shows that I thought, you know, at the being snobby beneath me or whatever. So at the same time, I got the epiphany. I remember as working with Van, I said, well, since he's so curious, his curiosity made me want to work the show more. So we sit down, and I would do all these drawings. I would go home. I would send them different. I still have lineups that I did from Jungle Boy and different things that I kept, different styles. I did all these different styles. Then I was like, well, I'm going too far over here, and I don't want to take over Van's cartoon, because I could have easily went that route where it's like, it would have been, you know, I'm just going to do it this way. So I didn't want to do that. So it was always like, what you like. It was more trying to find a recipe that would be complementary to what he draws, and not make him feel like he's inferior or anything to us or anything. We came up with stuff together. And yeah. the first few shows, even the first year, because I wasn't particularly happy, because I kept telling him we have to find a style for this show and get, and I just started to look at things that he repeated, to start repeating it in the character designs. And I think later on, it finally, at the third season, by the time when Van came back to the series, I think it finally, when Dan came on, it got a style finally to me. It finally had something where they stuck with a style. Because it was a little, and I think when me and Van started working together, it was one of those things, he didn't really know me as much, but he also liked my stuff. But at the same time, it was one of those things that he didn't really know what he wanted. So it was a little tough. It was a little tough, but also at the same time, looking back, I'm glad we did come up with something that didn't, where I didn't want to take away from Van at all. I always wanted to make sure it was a Van part of a cartoon, not a Julian Chaney cartoon. And, you know, I could have easily went left with it, but I didn't, you know. But now, I remember we had lunch about a year ago, and I had brought Jungle Boy development drawings. I still have all of that stuff. And he was looking back at it. I remember him going, God, I should have made this decision on that design, because I let him pick whatever he wanted. But certain things I wished at times that I would have said, no, we're doing it this way or doing it that way. You know, but it was, he had to learn as he goes as well. So now he looked back at some of that stuff, like, June, I should have let you do it that way, do it this way, you know. But hey, you know, live and learn the show. But he was, like I said, he was the first person to let me explore and do, you know, with his style, which led to Jungle Boy in a way, you know, in a mixture of old Hanna-Barbera. He wanted all of that. We're kind of doing like a hybrid in a weird way. But it was fun in that way, because he, other people that let me do that. So that was pretty much, you know, it was a little different. And then, but I also want to go back now, Julian, I'm glad you mentioned that, go back and start to draw a lot of those characters, because I really don't go back. We were mostly in production back then. So I really didn't go back to redraw characters that I had designed. So now when I see as his fan base people like these characters or things, you know, before the internet, we didn't think about this type of stuff. You know?
Yeah.
People, like, even like you approaching me for the podcast, you know, for this, that we did, it was a job. We did our work with it, you know, and then on to the next, you know. And at that time, we were still young. We're wild. Just, I haven't even went into half the other real stories they had on there at the time. Because there was a lot of us there working on shorts and different things at that time. We're all just, we had, well, I mean, we'll be there all night at that time. So it was, except for Van, Van would leave. Bye. You know? But at that time, it was fun. It was fun. We're like, it's 29 years ago. So imagine. You know, I just turned 55 in February, so that lets you know.
Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Julie.
Absolutely.
But it was one of those things where, even now, I mean, about a year or two ago, me and Van worked on something where I did some character designs for him. And he always has trusted me to do things. And, you know, the main thing, like I told him when we started working, always just give me trust, or trust is the big thing, and loyalty. And which hopefully we'll get that back in our industry, you know. And that was the beginning of that, was with Van, you know, him trusting me. He's a newbie. I'm kind of old at that time, but it was definitely a different merging at that time.
Yeah,
you know, and I guess he needed to know I needed a job too.
Oh, I'm glad it worked out, man. And speaking of, any chance you know Andy Bjelk?
Yeah, I know Andy.
Okay, so I had him on the show. Such a great dude, man. I had him on the show last year, year before last, whenever it was. Yeah. And he told this really funny story about a late night at Hanna-Barbera/Cartoon Network. He shouldn't have been telling.
He's talking too much. Yeah.
Oh, no. This was all above board. It wasn't anything too crazy. I would have done the same exact thing if I was in their shoes. You know, you get to walk the hallways of these industry titans, right? You get to see these characters like on the back of this wall, the Fred Flintstones, the Barney Rubbles, the Jetsons, the this, the that, the Scooby-Doos, right? You guys got to walk in and out or buy Mr. Barbera and Mr. Hanna's office. You got to interact with these guys that created your childhood, my childhood, my child's childhoods, and for future generations' childhoods, right? So I asked him, I'm like, what was one of the coolest things or one of the funniest things you guys did? And he was like, well, after hours, we were all working late one night. And he was like, I have to say this, it was respectable. He was like, but we all went and got the costumes that they had made for like Fred Flintstone, and they all dressed up at late night, and they were running up and down the stairs. They were running through the hallways and stuff like that. So with that groundwork being laid by Andy, what were some of the things that you guys were doing, Julian, on your production? You got any funny stories about late night Hanna-Barbera?
No. I have some, but some of them I would never tell.
No.
But then there was a couple of them where just being me and Roberts, this was before Van and those guys, but Robert Sledge and I was another artist. Just being in awe, being in this place that since I was a little kid, seeing the names on television and now working with these people. And my friend Greg Peters, just us at night, just going through the files and looking through the file cabinets and looking at all the artwork. It was definitely over. Even if I was working there now, I'd probably still be the same way.
Yeah,
I love just being, it smelled a certain way. You know, like, my God, these people, they had all these people making this cartoon here, or this whole street, pretty much the whole street at that time was filled with animation. You know, Filmation was on point. All the studios were, all the camera departments, everything was down there. So all the stuff that I used to fantasize in my head, now I'm in this building. You know, I got to spend those 2 years when I first started there, all the older people were still there. They had, most of them had retired yet. So I was there. Van got there right when a lot of them had retired. And some of them, there was still a few there. But I was there when all the old guys that were still, you know, Jane Barbera was still there. Ewo was there all the way to the end. The day I was, you know, it was just, I don't know, I'm just thinking about the late nights. At that, well, going back, Julian to having late nights was actually when band those guys were there, because you before prior to that, those late nights wasn't really that late. We would just look for a lot of fouls and looking at artwork. And then later on, once the short started, a lot of us stayed there because we were all doing a lot of work, I remember. And Moochie driving through the parking lot, this us eating, and pretty much just it was almost it became a college. I would say that Hanna-Barbera became a college. I'll just say that we were, because all the older people went home. They were doing their union job. And they're out. Me, Andy, Craig Kelman, all these guys, Gandy, all those guys were all, Craig McCracken, everybody, all we all were at the studio at late night just working. Yeah. You know, it was just a lot of work going on. But doing layout, me and Paul Rudish doing layouts on the show. They would send all the layouts back on the Secret Squirrel. Me and Paul would be there going over all the drawings, just stuff like that. People coming to visit from other studios. So they were in the trailer at first, working on Two Stupid Dogs. Our late nights would be fun, but it would mostly be us trying to have a break, procrastinating a little bit, eating stuff we're not supposed to be eating. just we were young still, you know, we're all fresh out of college still. So it was definitely fun at nighttime, head of a beer. And then couldn't wait to get back the next day, you know, which was usually a late day, or all of us dragging in. That's when we find the drawings on our desk. But we had a good time. I remember having a good time at that time because we were kids. We were still young. And when I came in, it was still like a lot of the older people. So it was a little bit different respect. I had to make sure I had that going. And then the people I worked under did not play at all. Very they were good people, fun, but they were serious about, they did not play about their job. So it was always, you know, and make sure the next person, when they got their work from you, that your work was done. And I'm glad I got to experience that mostly, because now everybody's reinventing the wheel everywhere. It's a lot different. I'm like, oh. Okay. When I start my studio, it won't be like this.
That's really cool. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Julian. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was going to ask with you getting there so early in your life, but so later in some of those legends that you had mentioned, their lives, they're getting ready to retire, they're getting ready to phase out, they're getting ready to go home. Was there any one person in particular, like, oh my God, it's him or her? Like, I've always wanted to meet that person. Did you fanboy out on anybody? I have to imagine you did at least once.
Oh yeah, Evo Takamoto.
Yeah, of course. I had to imagine, yeah.
Yeah, and all of them were still there. You know, you have Jerry Eisenberg. A lot of the I was working with I think of his name right now, tip of my tongue, but he was an old school Warner Brothers guy, and he used to clean up my artwork, and I was working with this guy and didn't realize, but see, this was one of the things too, I didn't realize who he was until after that. And then I see his name on everything, all his children's books, and I'm like, I used to work with this man every day and didn't know his history. So if that happens as well too, so I did fanboy out on certain names, but there's certain people there that I wish I could have took more advantage of. Yeah. Not took advantage of, but took more advantage of the time to speak with these people. And, you know, but I was and so humble, so sweet, you know. And then it was another artist, Tony Sigori, but he only would come in at certain times. And, you know, but I would see him when he's leaving. When we're coming in, he would leave. He'd be leaving the studio. And, then you see a lot of the older cats that are still doing time. Mr. Hanna was still doing timing X sheets up until he retired. He was still doing that. Mr. B would come to our meetings all the time. Mr. Barbera, I almost got ran over twice. Me and Robert trying to see Mr. Barbera when we first started, running across the street. And I almost got ran over by Heavy D. I don't know who you know Heavy
really?
D was. He was a rapper.
Yeah, yeah. I know who Heavy D is.
He's screeching halt. Me and Robert almost get hit. Like, get your ass out of the street. And then, oh my God, it's Heavy D. So him and the boys almost ran us over trying to get to Mr. Barbera. George Carlin almost ran me over.
Jesus.
Yes, in a parking lot.
Stay out of the streets, ladies and gentlemen.
John Astin. I want to see John Astin because they were doing the Addams Family. That lot was fun as well. The lot, you know, at lunchtime, you know, after recording, because we would get all the actors would come out. Jonathan Winters would come to the food truck. All kind of things. It was fun. It was. I missed that part of it.
Yeah.
We definitely had. We weren't supposed to approach them, but they always approached us. So it was always Little Richard. I mean, that was the first time I got jealous. He gave this little boy all these records and everything. And I was always like, I was actually mad because I wanted to. But Little Richard came and he did a voice for the guys that go Tom, Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted. And he did a voice for the show, but he came in this big old limousine. He was out a lot. And this is when I first started. Oh my God, it's Little Richard. And so many freaky times of meeting actors, you know. I remember meeting, what's his name, that played John Ritter at the Xerox machine one day. And I'm like, just walking. I called him Jack, Jack Tripper, instead of his real name. But he was really nice. I'm just thinking all these different people there at that time. I'm sorry, Julian, went off tangent.
Oh, no, you're fine. I like it when you guys go off on tangents because the same way you were just explaining is the same way I get giddy whenever I get to have folks like yourself on, whoever else I've had on. I got to get all the nervous energy out before I was like, all right, he's just a person. She's just a person too. Don't fanboy out. Don't make it any weirder than it has to be. You know what I mean? Just be professional. And then halfway through, I'm like, oh my God, I love what you do. Please tell me more about what you do. You know, steering it back to Johnny Bravo. Who out of all the characters that you guys collaborated with and came up together and you worked on the designs for, who was the easiest to slip into? Like who felt like that comfortable pair of shoes or that comfortable pair of pants when you were designing these characters?
Little Susie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it about her?
Because I always drew cute stuff.
Yeah.
And she was also the breakthrough drawing for Vane, for me to kind of figure out what he liked within that point. Like Jungle Boy kind of was, but then Little Susie was kind of also in the same world. And it also gave me somewhere to go from and kind of stay in that style. And I think she was easier, and then he explained her personality more. And then Mother was a little tough. Bunny was, because it was so many different versions. And I really didn't know what he wanted. So he made me mesh it and put that together. You know, so it was more of like, as I used to call them, a Frankenstein design. A lot of them, except for Little Susie, she was more of what he explained it to me, where I was able to sit there. We drew her out. The other ones are like pieces of what the other artists contributed or kind of. Wish I could show you what I did for Johnny Bravo, because it's entirely different at the time, what I did for Johnny. And I gave him more swoops, and at that time, mine was more Disney-esque looking, rough, Glenn Keane-ish looking thing. And I kind of drew that at that way at that time, because I'm making thing look more animated.
Yeah.
And so it was more fit the formula. If you go look at fit the formula, what character for me would be at the time. And it was a little bit more easier to do her. You know, she's more circles, she's more all the plausible bouncing ball, all this stuff. You know, I'm trying to get all the theories in there and also keep it a Van Particle draw without it being something that looks amateurish.
With Little Susie, right? What was it about? Like you said, it was very, you always did like very cute characters, but when Van was explaining her her right, what she was, what her character's motives, you know, what made Susie. What was it that you like latched onto? Was it, was it a catchphrase? Was it like, oh, she's sweet, she's cute? That's what you said, and then you start building this person from there. How does that whole concept come about?
Well, I saw the designs that he had other people other artists had contributed. And he showed me those before, actually they had started before I came, and he brought me on. And he showed me those and he said, they're not getting it, I remember. He said, and then he explained her personality and how she interacted with Johnny. She's kind of like a pest, but she's also a conscience for him in a certain
like a
way.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. And also too, she is a little girl. And then he explained to me who he wanted. I remember the girl who did her voice. I remember he was kind of explaining what type of voice he was, that was part of it. And it was one other thing, Julian, that I'm trying to remember, that I remember that he stressed, because I remember I had went back three times to come back, and then we finally, oh, that's her. Because I always, if you look at my any development drawings, I might do a ton of different versions of the character. But then once I have that meeting, I always put a star next to what they like or a circle. So I remember I was like, oh, that's the one he wants. But also, Little Susie was also based on my neighbor. The first versions that I turned into Van were my neighbor had just moved in to my building. They had just moved in when I still have that book with my little notes from our meeting with those drawings. And her name is Ileana, and she's an adult now. She's grown, but she just, Brian was a week old. He's an adult now too. But when they walked in, they had just moved upstairs. And I saw this little girl with this long pigtails. And that's the little girl I drew, was her, was Ileana.
Yeah.
And so I saved that little drawing pad. I saved that because I told her I was going to give her those drawings of Little Susie, because she didn't know she was an inspiration for my first drawings of Little Susie. And
that's
I
really
still
cool.
Have those sketches. So I do remember, I almost forgot about her, that it was her. She was the inspiration for Ileana was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool, man.
And I still have those drawings. I have to dig them up for you. I have to dig them up. And they're in one of my old sketchbooks.
Sketchbooks.
But I would go to my meetings and I would draw down with, you know, I always date them or what I'm, where we're talking about at the meeting before I go back and do the design. So she was, but I had did some designs of her, showed them to Van, and then he showed me what he liked in different things and we explained. So I had to go back and revise. But I still have those original sketches of her with the ponytails.
Oh, that's so cool. I know they just did one with Craig McCracken last year with Gallery Nucleus. Have you thought about reaching out to one of the art studios or art museums and doing a art of Julian Chaney or anything like that? You guys could put your stuff on exhibit for a little while and you go and do little panels and shit like that. Have you thought about doing anything like that?
I have thought about it, but I just haven't gotten to it. I want to do that because I have boxes of tons of artwork that people would never get to see.
That'd be
much.
Really cool,
you know,
to see.
Yeah, you know, or see the development of, like I was telling about the Jungle Boy stuff.
Yeah.
Van had completely forgot about it. And the reason why I brought it to our lunch was I wanted to give it back to him. I was like, Van, I have all this development work. But I said, let me copy it first. And it's still in the Hanna-Barbera folders, which is crazy. And I'm like, and it's so well preserved because it's just been in there. And I opened it up, I completely forgot about it. But it's stuff like that I wish people could see. Because also, too, sometimes the show, what the artist doing development, one of the reasons why I stopped doing character design and development, because some of the art you do would never make it to the screen. And some of the stuff that you finally see is not the best stuff.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. And it's not about, you know, and then you look back, go, wow, people didn't get to see this. They got to see the final version, which is not, pretty much sometimes not what the artist, but it's, you'll get to see the process of what it got to go to this point. And I want people to see all that, because I was looking at it and it was like, dang, I did some pretty, toot my own horn, I did some pretty good stuff.
No, nah, so man, if you're that, good, you're good. Put,
you know,
it out there.
I want to show people that stuff, you know, because at the time it was a job, and you're doing, you want to please, but I wanted to please Van, and then we finished, and then we got to where it was what the show was, but then people don't get to see what we went through to get to this point. Which I remember one time coming in, because I was working from home and I brought some stuff in. I remember Gendy seeing it. why don't you do this type of stuff for me? I'll never forget that. But I was having fun with man, you know, he gave me that trust. So you can see it in those drawings. So I'll probably try to get some of that stuff as well, the jungle, or maybe for the next time, you know. You
well, I mean, we're 1 year away from that 30th anniversary of Johnny Bravo.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, don't say that again, Julie.
Well, there's a...
I just grew another gray hair, thank you.
Well, it's funny because you can't really see it because I got blue lights on, but I've started noticing it in my hair here. It's all like I look like if you're ever a Fantastic Four, Reed Richards.
Yeah,
it's starting to come in real white here and then really white in here. It I mean, you're gonna age gracefully. You got the salt and pepper. I've got ketchup and mayo on my face. It's not working out too well.
I got tired of trying to disguise it. I've been great my whole life though, but people are like, Julia turning gray. I'm like, no,
I've been gray.
Didn't know it. Like, it comes, I know how to hide it. This is $9 in the box. Okay. The fountain of youth.
I'm pretty sure you've worked with him because he worked in the industry for 55 years, but you know, Robert Alvarez.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he does something too that you know, if you can't get to the art gallery or the art museum, he does something really cool, whether it's something he worked on, something he got from the dumpster when him and Tim would dumpster dive, or something that was gifted to him. Every day he'll post up something new from his collection. So if the gallery thing doesn't work out, that'd be something really cool to see you do too. I know it's a lot of work to go through all of that shit and then have to put something up every day on social media, but getting to see like from your hands on your social media, kind of be really cool to see a whole bunch of those pictures pop up too. Cause that's like you said, you've got history in your boxes and your binders and your sketchbooks, you know? So it'd be really cool to see, not too many of these shows got to do an art of book. And I know that's something that a lot of fans like myself have been asking for Johnny Bravo, for Dexter's, like all these shows we grew up with, they picked and choose which ones they would do art books with, but I would love to see just an entire
the real
lineup.
Stuff.
Oh, all of them, all of the shows that I grew up with, anything that Cartoon Network ever put a stamp on, Hanna-Barbera ever put a stamp on, I would love to see art books. So that could be a way you could circumvent the gallery and then get it out there, and you could do it at your own time and your own leisure, you know?
Yes, definitely, Julian. I was thinking about that. I wanted to do like a little show where it's like out the box, actually. I wanted to call it that. As I, you know, like they do those shows where they go in Egypt, and they're going to go inside the vaults and stuff.
Breaking the tomb open.
Some of these boxes I have are like that. I haven't opened them since I finished that job. And it's a little weird. When I opened one box, it had notes, like posters from Mike Takamoto that he would leave on my desk. Like, John Kay called you today, or such and such. And it's some certain people, those posters that I saved with drawings on them, some of those people aren't here anymore. So it's kind of... like you said, it's like a museum piece to see some of this stuff, or give me memories. Like I have my Hanna-Barbera stationery still, you know, because they gave us our own stationery back then. Speaking of Robert Alvarez, like I remember him working on the show. We had did some development drawings, and I have some of that stuff. And it's just weird that, you know, just things that you said that people would never see some of this stuff. And I want to definitely let them see that, you know. I would love a Johnny Bravo art of book. Now that you're talking about it, Julian.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I had it because Robert was one of the first people I actually struck up a friendship with, and I talked to him regularly. I got to talk to him. You know, he sent me I can't find it. Oh, right here, right in front of me. I can't remember if this was. I can't remember if it was. He just had his little notepad that he would draw on, and you know, he sent me a whole bunch of stuff. Him and Randy Myers both. I actually got that pen I showed you about at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Randy Myers had sent that to me. He was like, "I just got this stuff laying around." He's like, "I figure you know you would like this shit." So I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude! I love it. I write with that pen every single day."
Yes,
it's actually the pen's starting to go out, so I got to figure out how to change out or buy a new ink thing to put in there, just so I can keep that. I've had it for like 2 years now. I don't want it to ever stop working because I just think it's really cool. Just so, like I said, just getting to see like these little pieces of history would be just so cool for fans like myself. And I got to imagine whenever you do, you know, you blow off that box, you know, you're like, you're opening up King Tut's tomb, right? You're going to be thinking that smell, because I'm a comic book guy, right? So there is a distinct smell, like old books, old comic books. You turn those pages, they're just starting to turn from off-white to yellow, and you can smell the 70s and the 60s and the 80s. You're like, dude, somebody was smoking a cigarette while they were reading this.
Yes. Well, see, we're only generation, if you're over, I tell you, you're over 50-something, we're only generation that knows what Saturday morning tastes like. That's what it smells like. Because, like, we, that was our day. We knew it smelled like cereal, you know, all of whatever, candy, whatever. So I'm the same way, you know, with animation sales. Me and Robert Maris, we would always get animation sales the way the paint smell.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to paint sales, and I still do that. I have boxes of sales animation stuff. And I still love that. I do miss that, actually. I miss the whole being having something tangible and stuff in our industry now. Everything's so digital now, so it's a little, I miss that aspect.
It's a shame. It's a shame everything is digital, because there's so many fantastic shows. And right after we get off this, remind me, and I want to show you something that I just received not too long ago. But it's just, there's so many great shows that are out right now that I would love. Like, they do production art and stuff like that, but it's just like, I would love to own or buy a piece of X, Y, and Z, but they're not doing it because everything is digital now. So I'm hoping with Miyazaki winning this the Oscar this past couple weeks ago, and then them really making a push for traditional animation. Disney has been talking about doing traditional animation again. Yes. Fingers crossed. I want to see so many studios pick up that and just go back to pen, paper, and ink and paint. One more big one. Absolutely.
You know? I still draw on paper. Every day I still do stuff. I still draw just to stay warm. Matter of fact, this is Alex Toth's drawings right here.
Oh, such a
and these are real. Yeah. These are real. I got paid.
That's so cool. You talk about a dude that's never brought up enough. He's one of them.
Oh yeah.
Damn near designed half of Damn near designed half of Hanna-Barbera's library back in the day.
Oh, love Alex Toth. It was a guy, Daryl McNeil, who passed away, but I did some animation for him. And one of my, for payment, he used to be good friends with Alex Toth. And for payment, he gave me those thumbnails of Alex.
Really?
I have to get them framed, but it's like, I keep them on my desk all the time up here. Yeah. And so, you know, I have to get them, I want to get them framed and make sure that, you know, they're well preserved. Because I know I could never afford an Alex Toth drawing, but at least I have this little thumbnail, you know. I'm like, hey, you don't have to pay me no money. Thank you.
That's payment enough.
Yes. So that, and I have an Ewo drawing that I cherish a lot too, that I had bought, that he was actually going to sign. And when I went to the studio, that was the day he passed away. And Maggie came out and told me that Ewo just passed away. And I had all my drawings that I had just got. He said the week before, he said he would sign. So it was kind of, I still have them, but people are like, I want to buy those. No, I'll never sell those.
Good. No, you got to keep those. Those have got to go into Julian's tomb when Julian goes.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too. It's just like, I have all of this stuff. And now I'm at the point where it's like, I want to make sure it goes to people that will appreciate it. Because sometimes family and other people don't really get it. I'd rather have people have it that would appreciate it and take care of it, you know. Because I don't know when I'm going to check out of here, but I don't want it to be squandered. Or I had a friend pass, he was a DJ, and his family kind of squandered off because they didn't understand what he did. So they kind of just threw his stuff out. And he had all this stuff that, I don't never want that to happen, you know. So I'd rather give it all away before I'm out of here when that happens.
Beautiful sentiment. You know, as we start to wind down, one, I got to thank you for coming on my show. I would love to have you on again if you're up for it.
Thank you,
I had
Julian.
Such a blast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting
me. Oh, absolutely. And I don't have to tell you that you've done some really cool shit in your life, Julian, because your resume, I just took a stroll down and I'm looking and I'm like, Loved that one. Loved that one. Grew up on that one. That one actually, me and my brother connected over. I made a friend off of that one. So I would just show by show by show. And then you just look at the title, you look at the screens, or you look at the artwork. And it's like food. It's like a smell. It's like a song. You're instantly transported back in time. And like I said, that's what I love about doing this show and talking to folks like yourself, because you guys, all you have to do is talk about one show, like Johnny Bravo, like we did. And we got to talk about all of Cartoon Network, Hanna-Barbera, and all of that stuff. And I can remember the first time sitting down in front, right? Everybody says, you just said it yourself, you're the last generation that can kind of understand what Saturday mornings tasted like.
Yeah.
Like I was never a big cereal guy. I'm a hot breakfast kind of guy, and I'm from the South. So
yeah,
eggs and grits. Well, eggs and grits were my life growing up. They still are. It's still my favorite. With the exception of Spam, rice, and eggs. Grits and eggs.
I got spam here right now, Julian. I'm going to check four cans of it. Matter of fact, who you playing with?
My sister got me this for my birthday a couple years back. A funny story about Spam. So I had never had Spam until I was deployed on the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
2011, I think. You know, it's been so long ago, and it's not even that long ago, but it's so long I just can't remember the year. But I was deployed on the USS Abraham Lincoln, and I'm in the middle of the ocean. I'm on an aircraft carrier. I'm starving because there's 5,500 people. As soon as we get new food, like you can only eat chicken nuggets, or you can only eat cheeseburgers, or you can only eat so many salads before you just get sick of food, right?
You want some real food.
I need real food, right? And I just remember, like, you can only do so much. So, like, most of the time it's 9, 10, 11 months you're deployed. So most of the time you're working out, you're reading. I would literally bring, like, 50, 60 books with me. My wife would send me all of my comics every month. She would wait until the end of the month and send me 30 issues of whatever, or 30 comic books, because I was pulling a lot at that time. And I was just burning through books. I was burning through TV shows, cartoon shows, and I was burning through food, too. And one of the care packages that they always sent me, because I would always ask for mac and cheese, I would always ask for tuna fish, peanut butter. And then I had just started eating Spam because I worked in supply. So my LPO, my supervisor, he was a Filipino, and he survived on Spam, right? Spam, rice, and eggs were like his everyday lunch. And he was like, if you want to eat and you want to get some calories, get on this right now. So Spam, rice, and eggs was an everyday thing for me for about 9 months. And it's still like a once or twice a week type of thing for me now with Spam, rice, and eggs.
So that's what I have for breakfast, Junior.
Yeah.
And I got my friend Mercedes. She just came from Sacramento. She bought me a bag this big full of Spam. So I'm covered for Spam for a couple of months now.
That's a keeper. That's a best friend right there to bring you back here. I give you a little tip. Do you like spicy food?
Oh yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do you make your Spam? And like I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is why it's called the What's in My Head podcast, because you never know what you're going to talk about. We talked about animes for a little bit. Now we're going to talk about Spam for just a few minutes. But how do you like to eat your Spam?
I like it with eggs and rice. But I have different flavors. I have a jalapeno flavor right now.
That one's good. So is the bacon.
The hickory smoke. I want you to try that one here. The barbecue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have the Filipino flavor. That's the one I have. And I forgot the name of Sago, or I forgot how you pronounce it.
Oh, but adobo?
Adobo. They have adobo, and that's another one. They have two different spices that I have, Filipino ones. So she actually gets it from the Filipino store.
Yeah.
And in my Spam toy, too.
But
you need to get your sponsors, Julian.
Well, shit, there's two things. Like, I haven't talked about Spam, but that's Spam, like I said, my little Spam stuffed animal that my sister got me. That's been sitting back there next to my Iron Giant, my Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy, and every Batman, you know. And so with the Spam, so I've talked about that, but that's been in every episode for like the last 3 years. But the other thing that I'm always drinking today is actually the first time I don't have an Arnold Palmer. I'm a sweet tea fanatic. Palmer has half lemonade, half sweet tea. So that's what I typically drink for everyone. But my oldest son drank my last one two days ago. Now, he didn't tell me. He leaves the whole container in there. Just didn't, you know. Yeah, he left the empty box in there. So I was like, oh, shit, I got at least one left. And I don't, but nonetheless,
oh,
man.
No.
Arnold Palmer, if you're looking for somebody that wants to sling your drinks, that's me. Spam, if you're looking for somebody that wants to sling your food, that's me.
Yes.
But a really good way to eat spam, rice, and eggs. I like pan searing or deep frying the spam. It just depends on what I'm doing. But if I'm pan frying the spam, what I like to do is I like to heat up a little bit of sesame oil and a little bit of regular oil, and then just get a nice sear on both sides. Take it out, you know, drain it off just a little bit, and then cook my eggs in that same pan, over easy eggs or sunny side, depending on what
Oh,
I feel
I love
like.
over easy eggs.
But cooking them in chili crunch. So if you've ever been to a Chinese spot, you have this chili oil and they put garlic and ginger, green onion. So it's got, and peanuts are sometimes in it. So you cook it in that. So it's got the spice, it's got the sweet from the peanut, it's got this like umami from the sesame, the soy sauce and everything. It's fantastic. I'll send you a link for chili oil, and I'll send you a link for a recipe if you want to make it at home, because it's very
Please,
simple, very
Julia.
easy. And almost
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
has every ingredient, but it's fantastic on your egg, spam, and rice.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm cooking me some rice tonight. Actually, so I can do that. Thank you, Julia.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing we like to do before we sign off, especially when we have a show like Johnny Bravo that just sits so much here in my heart, man. If you can describe Johnny Bravo and your time on Johnny Bravo, if there's one word, one sentence, one phrase, one paragraph, man, what would you surmise your entire time on Johnny Bravo as?
Growth.
Yeah.
Growth. I said it was all about growth, because I had to grow after that show. I had to grow a lot, and actually growing during that show. Then, could I get two words?
Oh, absolutely. This is your show about you. You could have the whole damn paragraph if you want.
And trust. Mm-hmm. Learning about trusting. Being in the entertainment industry, you know, I learned a lot about trust in that show. Mm-hmm. But it turned out later on that everything turned out great after the fact, I could say that. You know,
that's really cool.
Growth. Mm-hmm. And with Van, I would say the thing about being, sorry about the fireworks outside, about loyalty and him trusting me. Yeah, loyalty and trust. That's one thing I did, you know. I was definitely will always appreciate Van for that. And Van for giving me that. And knowing that somebody's actually, like you said, that you're watching this stuff, Julie. And we don't, you know, at that time, we didn't have the internet. Like, well, the internet was just starting, but it wasn't like this now. And we didn't have that. We were just there. I'm there to work and make cartoons and different things. And not knowing, you know, at that time that there's people out there enjoying this stuff as well, and like we used to before we got into the industry. Like looking back when I was a kid, I have like all my old drawings and stuff, which I should show them to you one or send you a link so you can see
absolutely.
Stuff. And stuff when I was a kid that I drew, but it was like looking back and reminiscing on some of that stuff and forget how creative you were as a young person.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get in the industry or something, you know, you finally get what you want. Sometimes you learn too many rules and too many things that kind of suppress your creativity at the point. But I can say, going back to Johnny Bravo with Van, he reminded me how creative we can be. And that not to be so, you know, everything will have to be so straightforward. You know, you can be a little off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, see, he had to teach us how to be that way again. And I think Van did with that show. Teach us how to be a little off and not be so, you know, because I think even it had been, even at Hanna-Barbera, I think they had forgot their way for a while. At the beginning, you know, everything got so corporate. To where you forgot that you're a cartoonist, you like funny stuff, different things, you know. And they didn't get their groove back. And John Kay had to try to get them that groove back on the Jetsons, and then he ended up getting fired. But at that time, he was the first person to start letting artists know, hey, you got better skills than that. You push people a little bit, push the artwork a little bit, have fun with it. So we had to learn that again. You know, you go in and I think Johnny Bravo Van, him trusting me, growth. I learned a lot from that with him. Just the trust. Just giving somebody trust will help them. You'd be surprised how much it helps a person grow. You know,
oh, absolutely.
I needed that at that time. And I'm glad he, and it still resonates now with me that the fact that he was the first person to do that. You know, everybody else, I felt that probably I was in competition with, man, pushed me, you know, and he didn't even know as much as I did, but he pushed me at that time. And, you know, so it's about growth, Julian.
Absolutely. Well, it's, couldn't think of a beautiful or a better way to end that other than, and this is going to be weird because whenever I do this sign off, I've never had anybody that's had the same name as me. So he's been Julian. I've been Julian. This has been a What's in My Head podcast, and this has been another piece of your childhood. Good night.
Thank you.
Hey guys, it's your resident cartoon junkie Brandon Jones here asking you to have a listen to my Animation Destination podcast. It's an animation celebration podcast, and it's full of all sorts of stuff about anime and cartoons and voice acting and all that sort of thing, and just a really all-around celebration of anything animated. So come on by and check it out. We've got fan episodes of your favorite animes to your most obscure cartoons on Netflix that no one's ever heard of. And just really love talking about it. You can subscribe to us on Spotify and iTunes and anywhere else you can get your podcasts from. So stop on by, subscribe, and stay tuned for the Animation Destination Podcast.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Before we go, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with the podcast today. I truly appreciate every download and listen we get. If you're liking what we're doing, drop us a 5-star rating, drop us a review, tell a friend, and I'll see you next week.